And welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And I'm another owner of EWR Digital. Yes, we're on the best SEO podcast or the unknown secrets of internet marketing. So, Chris, people get confused, right? Because we got bestseopodcast.com is the name of the website. Yeah. And then people are asking me, is that the name of the podcast? And I said, well, the name of the podcast is The Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing, but it's easier to remember Best SEO Podcast. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts on that? Because you bought the domain Best SEO Podcast, which is great. And we've got that ranking quite well. But Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing is the full name, and that's a mouthful and it's hard for people to remember. So
well, it's actually the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. It's even longer than you're describing. I think for ease of, and we give this advice to our clients regularly when they have kind of a longer domain name, we may kind of use a couple of initials in the rest of the domain or whatever. Like, you've got to make it easy to give out over the air. Yeah. And you do want to take advantage. Imagine like when we named this podcast, Direct Match
was big. Yeah,
it was important. It made a huge difference, right? Yeah. So that's why that was made. Maybe the simplest way to describe it is the name of the podcast is the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. And it happens to be the best SEO podcast there is. So the easiest way to find it is just to go to bestseopodcast.com and boom, you find us.
All right.
We are broadcasting live in Houston, Texas. And Matt and I, we are your results. I got a review for you. This is good. So this review is from Clarice Gomez. It is, of course,
five stars.
that doesn't work as well in remote locations. The title of the review is Awesome Podcast. Chris and Matt, host of the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing podcast, highlights all aspects of internet marketing and more in this can't miss podcast. The host and expert guests offer insightful advice and information that is helpful to anyone that listens. I would agree. I mean, we've read a couple of bad reviews. Yeah, we like to have a little bit of a conversation in the beginning. Yes, we're going to do a little bit of self-promotion because it is our podcast. and there is really good value in this podcast. So patif to you, Clarice. We really appreciate you and all those people who enjoy the podcast and connect and share the podcast with people and all of those good things. I'm ready to jump in. The article is 6 SEO tactics for maximum customer acquisition. You know, at the end of the day, that's really what our customers are interested in. It's like, okay, great. First page. Okay, great. Great usability. Okay, great. It looks really attractive. My grandma really likes it. And how many customers is it bringing to me?
No, I mean, that's really how we're starting to really look at things. I've been involved in a couple deals here recently where we're looking at the entire website plus the marketing as like a digital asset that kicks off clients. And so how do you evaluate that? How do you value that? Interesting enough, this article, I know you're going to get into it, is it by Eric? Because it's from Single Grain, right?
No, it's Irina Weber.
Okay. But Eric Sue bought Single Grain. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to have him on the podcast. So buddy, like $2, he bought the agency for actually $2. It was like a failing agency. It's kind of a interesting story. I mean, who knows if it's true, but that's kind of the story behind how he purchased Single Grain. He's an entrepreneur. And so I like that we selected this article. So
yeah, very well. Yeah. And again, focus on customer acquisition. Yeah, that's really right there. Yeah. That's really that all that matters. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to jump into this article. It is, again, by Irina Weber, 6 SEO tactics for maximum customer acquisition. How do you identify the most effective customer acquisition channels? So this is one of her points, like go in, and this is like an SEO task is to, in my opinion, to understand where your traffic is coming from, understand where your conversions are coming from. And also she talks about set a goal, right? Like, absolutely set a goal. What is your goal? You know, because sometimes if you're doing a particular marketing campaign, it may not be actual customers. It may not be actual conversions. Maybe you actually do want to build your social media presence, or you do want to build your newsletters. Obviously, like, we tend to recommend that the reason you're doing that is, you know, hey, my email list is 10,000 strong. Every time I send an email, I get 1,000 new orders. What if my email list were 100,000 strong? So let's focus on, you know, A plus B equals C. Let's focus on A and get people into newsletter. So any goal that's not related directly to customer acquisition needs to have an end game that's related to customer acquisition.
Well, and I would also say, like, keyword intent is really important. So you can use third-party tools to kind of see the AdWords value, and if people are bidding on it, there's a market for that keyword typically. But keyword intent is extremely important, because, give you an example, you know, SEO, right? People searching for SEO versus people searching for SEO agency. You know, those people are looking for two different things. Mm-hmm. And one, if you're an agency and you're trying to, you know, acquire customers, is different than if people are wanting to learn how to do SEO or what is SEO. Like, you got to understand when someone's searching for that, if you're getting in their head, what are they searching for and why? And yeah. I think that's really important.
Yeah. So. She also talks about, there's an article that I'm going to show you six effective ways to use, as this is outlining, pre-framing, ways to use SEO for customer acquisition and understand what channels. So channels might be like organic, paid, referrals,
social.
And you want to figure out which one of those have the potential to deliver the most value. So the number one SEO tactic that she says to use for maximum customer acquisition: keyword research to get new customers to your site. Obviously, finding new keywords, it's an ideal way to boost customer acquisition. Of course, you got to create the content to, like, follow up on the keywords. A great way to boost customer acquisition and get traffic to your website. It's interesting. This little thing stick in my mind, right? Ideal way to boost customer acquisition and get traffic to your website. I actually feel like, you know, posting new articles that are relevant to your customers, actually, it's the reverse. It's a great way to boost traffic to your site and then hopefully boost customer acquisition. And that depends on the quality of that landing page, how good a job you've done to get that landing page to convert.
Absolutely.
The aim of this tactic is not to accumulate huge amount of traffic, but to boost conversions by targeting keywords. It's one of the things you got to be mindful of when you're working with an SEO. Like, does it feel like their end game is just more traffic? Because just more traffic may not deliver the value and won't necessarily deliver the customer acquisitions that you're looking for.
Well, Chris, one of the things that I'm starting to get asked a lot more, I guess, since kind of COVID hit, is really extending beyond the marketing. They're asking us to step more into kind of the CMO or fractional CMO role and, like, understand how all the marketing works together, because everybody's really getting locked down on, okay, what am I spending? Where is it going? What's happening in this channel? Am I acquiring this new customer? How do these channels, you know, work together? Understanding, like, CRO or customer rate optimization, like, is really, really important when you're bringing that traffic. Like, how are you converting it? Or conversion rate optimization is super, super important, but that's not SEO, right? And so it's like all these different factors that play into your marketing strategy to actually acquire that new customer. It's not just one discipline. It's actually multidiscipline, right? And so, you know, a lot of SEOs maybe not have the business in mind, and they need to more now than ever, because everybody's watching that bottom line to understand, okay, SEO is a line item. What am I getting for this? How many customers can I attribute to this channel? And we've had a couple conversations here recently where I'm like, hey, you know, what's your customer acquisition strategy? Is SEO something you're even considering? And it opens up the conversation of how they're currently acquiring customers or how they're valuing different buckets. And I think it's really important to understand that logic when you're working with a client or you're working on your own business to understand attribution. So,
Absolutely. One of the points that, you know, and we talk about this often, is going after the long tail keywords. There are usually just a small number of people searching for long tail keywords, but those keywords usually convert. You can use keyword research or keyword research from any competitor. Find out what they're targeting, and you can unveil a bunch of good opportunities. So that first tip was actually keyword research. So that made perfect sense to me. Good keyword research basically requires hard work, being creative, using professional tools to catch keyword variations, using phrase match to collect a list of relevant phrases. And then she gives a kind of link to a couple of articles for beginner keyword research. I mean, you and I know that keyword research, that's the foundation of anything. It's like new customer visits. What do you do? Okay, let me think about how somebody who's looking for what you do, how are they going to approach that search on the internet, and then like make sure you show up there.
Yeah. If you don't do the keyword research right, everything else is going to be wrong. Right. Yeah. So you got to make sure that you have that piece correct.
It is the foundation. If you're not doing really good keyword research, you might be as well be making it out of soggy mushrooms or something. All right. Number two, improve customer experience on your website. So based on an Oracle study, 74% of top executives consider customer experience a hugely important factor, which affects the customer's willingness to be a loyal advocate. Like, if we're really honest, it's not just customer acquisition. It's like customer acquisition and convert them into a raving fan, or yes, in this case, a loyal advocate. It's that next step. And that really should be the business's overall goal. Although our role tends to end right at the point that we've helped them acquire the customer. But we do have a lot of things that we can do and support you with. Email drip campaigns are incredibly effective to get somebody who is just a customer, right? Quote unquote, yeah, just a customer, into a raving fan. Those things can really help, over delivering some guidance that we can provide there is really good. Some SEO factors.
Well, so just one thing on that, I think it's really important, like when you're talking about touch points, right? So it's like 8 to 12 touch points to actually get some brand lift to understand like, hey, I actually see this ad because we're getting hit so many times. Yeah. But if you're talking about staying in touch with the customer, I think a lot of people are focused on acquiring the customer and not keeping the customer. So to keep a customer, data says 25% of the cost, energy, time to keep a customer there versus acquire a new customer. So if you need to be looking at your churn rate, and you need to focus on building a loyal customer base, because then you're not going to have to work as hard. You're going to be able to deliver more quality work. You're not going to have to expend as much energy. And also on those touch points, think about how close you want to be to them, right? Like, yeah, do you talk to your family once a week or every day or whatever? How close do you want to be to them? How close do you talk to your close friends? How close do you talk to your acquaintances, right? So, I wouldn't say anything less than monthly is when you should actually be reaching out to your clients or touching your customer base, of just providing them value of some sort. If you're wanting to build that loyal fan base, I think that daily is really what I'm seeing, right? And people think that, hey, I'm bothering them too much by sending them too many emails. If they wanted your email, they want your content, and if you're delivering good value, they're actually going to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Is what I've seen, even though you tend to think, hey, I don't want to rock the apple cart. I don't want to send them too many messages. But actually, if it's good quality and you're adding value, and they want to like be part of getting to know you better and be part of your kind of circle, they want more contact versus less.
And yeah, get the mind to shift from, am I contacting them too often, yeah, to am I delivering enough value to continue the right to contact them this often? I think that's a great way to say that. There's one stat that I read that 80% of your customers have forgotten who you are in 90 days. So you've got to be communicating with them at least quarterly. I like your number better, Matt, like once a month, that make sure you have some sort of contact. And then you can actually generate a lot more value if you're delivering value by communicating with them even more frequently.
Well, that's the number one reason why customers leave is like apathy, right? Yeah. Or something like that. It's like indifference. You know, they don't feel like you care about them. They're a number, you know? So,
So SEO factors can make or break your customer experience. Page load time. So it's interesting because a lot of times you think about SEO and you're like, okay, this is in order to get good placement. And we talk about this all the time. Like at the end of the day, it's about providing a good experience to the Google user and those things that help. I mean, that's why they're so in line, right? Is that those things that provide a good experience to a Google user are actually on Google's algorithms in terms of giving you good placement. So she mentions page load time, responsiveness. Interesting, like you wouldn't think this in terms of a customer delivery or customer experience, but H1, H2 through, I mean, H2 through H4 tags. Okay, that sounds really like super SEO geeky, but it's really like, how is a newspaper article laid out? You've got the master header, and then you've got subheaders that break down that article in different sections. That's not just valuable for Google from an SEO perspective, it's valuable for your user. You got to be careful of broken and dead links. Those are never a good experience. She mentions metadata. And I'd say most importantly here in terms of metadata is the description, because that's what ends up on the SERP, the search engine result page. You want that description to be compelling, to get people to click through, to deliver value whenever possible, and potentially set the expectation of what you want them to do when they click through that page. So, hey, if your goal is to get them to sign up for a newsletter, that might be worth putting in your meta description so that when they're on that search engine result page, they know, okay, yeah, I will go here and there's information. And I know already I'm pre-framed that I'm going to give my email for a newsletter.
Well, so Chris, I've been doing some reading. I like to read, and I've kind of got back into it where I'm kind of blowing through books pretty quickly, and I'm reading a lot of books about copywriting right now, and really it's like a lot of the top copywriters, like like Dan Kennedy, somebody I love to read about. There's a couple other authors that have been around for a long time as well that are great. They spend 90% of their time on the copy, on the headline. Okay. And that's what the H1, H2, H3, H4 are, because if you can't hook them with the headline, they won't even read the copy.
Yeah. The rest are brilliant. Yeah.
And so you gotta focus on kind of catching them at each kind of pause point to have them flow down the page. And if you look at like heat maps or anything like that, I mean, above the fold or like even on Google, right? It's like, up at the top, I mean, people have such a short attention span today that like you have to keep catching their attention. So for a customer experience, having really good headlines or title tags is extremely important, because they're not even going to read the rest of what you put together if you're
you don't get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last point that she makes in this section is like bold and italics. And she actually put use them sparingly. And I'm like, I would change that. I would say use them appropriately, because sometimes like when you're reading those articles, those are pieces like you want to have images that can break up the content. You want to have sections that can break up the content. And sometimes just bolding a word or italicizing a small section, those can really help break up the content and make it much more absorbable and a better experience for that particular user. So I'm not sure I don't know. What do you think? I'm not sure sparingly is the right word.
I mean, you see my emails. So like, I mean, I use bold and I use italics and I break stuff up, and I rarely write like complete sentences. Like I use bullet points because that's what people are doing. They're just skimming stuff right now. If you lock in somebody that is trying to decide if they're going to, buy your product or service, you need to give them all that information and long form content. But if you're trying to communicate points to make sure that you've communicated what you need to communicate, you want to highlight that. You want to differentiate that, because, people are going to skim it in a couple seconds. And if you didn't get your point across, like a lot of times people write these paragraphs where they kind of everything's coagulated together and they put multiple points together. A lot of times they don't get the response they're looking for, or things get missed. So it's just kind of, tweeting and everything else, like the shorter, the better, and make sure you get to the point quickly.
Absolutely. Wraps up this section with a positive customer experience is a never ending process, and you should always be striving to improve it. That just goes to what we say is your website is actually never done. Yeah. Point number three, refurbish and repurpose content for a better content experience. And she really says, decide which content can be reused. And to help you make that decision, decide what drives your customers' buying decisions. What are their problems and the cracks in that they're looking for solutions? How can you help them? Further use the keyword research that you've done before. Really, that's going to be related to those two questions. And then finally, make sure you've got good bait in those. I think there's enough here to break down a little bit more, which is don't just put content together just for keywords. Put content together to solve customers' problems or to address customers' problems. And that's where you want to make sure that you've got an article that can be reworked over and over and over again. So understand that those pivotal articles that really address the customer's issues, you're probably going to keep them up to date on a regular basis and know that, and maybe even schedule that out on a content schedule. And then I also think what's really important, and this goes back to 90% on the title, is bait them, right? Make sure that you've got the right bait.
Well, I think that you can invest more in content, quality content, if you repurpose it. Right. And I've seen a number of articles, and we don't need to go into it here, on how you can kind of chop up an article into multiple posts. You can run it on different platforms. You can run it in different content formats. Really, if you have quality content, you should be able to continue to break it up. And then you don't have to skimp and have to, you know, if you can't produce X amount of articles, you know, per month, you can produce one really good article and then chop it up and then distribute it and syndicate it out and still get that benefit. Because really what people are looking for today more than anything else is quality content, someone looking for an answer to their problem. And right now, a lot of people are just trying to maybe get the right rankings. But if you're not solving the customer's problem, it's pointless.
You know? Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Number four, use social media. Social media is the most effective channel. I think this is really important. It's the most effective channel for CMOs, right? Chief marketing officers, to communicate with the customer, other than emails, assuming you've got the email list, right? If you want to interact with people at the learning, use, trial, or discovery steps of the buying process, social media is an essential tool for engagement. I'm not like, how much of a SEO tool do you see social media, Matt?
There's something to be said about social signals. I think there's something to be said about brand recognition. I think that from a customer service standpoint, you can connect directly with the customers. I think you want to be social on social media. And I think a lot of SEOs are looking for social media as a scalable tool. And unless you use automation and syndication, sometimes it's hard to get those economies of scale and you're pumping out content. But I think that, you know, from a direct sales standpoint or connecting directly with the customers, like, I mean, you know, you send a message or say they send a message to you, you're talking directly to a customer. Like if you're trying to do like, you know, a control group of like, hey, do you like this new product or whatever? Like, I think social media is extremely powerful because you're connecting and you have engagement direct with customers. I think it's hard to scale it. I think it's hard to outsource it. And that's why I think people that are running a business shy away from it because it's like one more thing for them to do. But I have seen people, if they embrace it, like this is how I'm going to generate my business, I'm going to respond to everyone, I'm going to engage, I'm going to put out great content. You know, it's what you get in what you put out of it. I mean, yeah. I think that's maybe the best way to sum it up. And I don't think people have fully committed to social media, or they've committed to social media, but then they commit to like 20 different channels, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. You know, how can you really accomplish that? I think, you know, 2 to 3 channels max is where you want to be. And then you can also use some recipes and syndication to push stuff out there to get your content, but letting people know, hey, if you want to engage with me, here's the platforms that I'm on frequently. And I think that realistically, everybody's on social media, or a lot of people are on social media quite a bit, more than you think. Maybe you're not producing content, maybe you're consuming content, but you're on social media. And so it shouldn't be that foreign to you that you can connect with people and sell to people and market to people on social media. So,
yeah, you did say you get out what you put in. And I'm going to just share that from an ROI perspective, we haven't really seen a positive ROI on organic social media effort, certainly on paid effort. And that may just be because for our clients, we're doing kind of the standard three posts. I think you're right. If you're going to do it and you want that to drive to be a customer acquisition tool, then you've got to invest a lot more. And it's got to be a lot more personal, in my opinion, than to just have some company doing a few posts for you a couple of weeks. And so I think if you put enough in, you can get out what you put in. I think that if you're just going to dabble in it, then it's just not going to have the value. It's not going to have a positive ROI.
Well, I want to just highlight something you said, like, you know, we are still doing social media for clients, but that's not a product or service offering that we even have on our new website. I have shifted a lot of that budget to other things that produce a greater ROI, but there are certain businesses where you do need to have a presence on social media. You know, sometimes you can't get around that, but you can supplement the organic with paid strategies and really drive it where it all kind of dovetails into one another. But I think for most businesses, unless you have someone that's very close to that business that knows what they're doing, it's very hard to be authentic in those posts. And so, you know, we were offering that service before, probably like, was it 2 years ago, the Facebook algorithm, before they kind of changed that, where they didn't really, like, you don't get that visibility. Like, you really want to max out a personal Facebook, you know, get to your 6,000 friends or whatever. And then you can get that reach. You can get better reach on like LinkedIn and TikTok and some things like that if you have customers there right now. So again, it's strategic of how you use it. You can leverage it. I mean, we're getting one person a week, like asking about services through social media. And you know, there could be more. There's a lot more we could always be doing. But I do think it's an effective channel. I think people underrate it. It is just hard to scale if you're not really tactical about what you're doing. You can't kind of set and forget about it, really.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, number five, participate in forum marketing to get real customer feedback. So forums, and this can be like Facebook groups, are a goldmine of information where potential customers can discuss services. Some quick tips to succeed. And again, this is like a Facebook group or any sort of forums that are out there. Read what your competitors post and see what connections they have. Maybe you can piggyback off of the connections they have. Find some experts or specialists in your industry and get chummy with them. Offer them maybe some free products or a trial or some incentives to kind of speak about your position in the marketplace. Position your business as a solution provider. Don't sell, provide value. And this goes back to like, can I contact them once a week? Can I post a couple of times a day in a Facebook group or in a forum? And the answer is yes, if you're delivering value. Be more creative and present your service or product without violating the forum rules and policies, right? Because every forum is going to have their own rules. So you want to make sure that you conform to those. And then finally, we've got number six. This is, again, six awesome ways to use SEO for customer acquisition. Number six, promote your upcoming customer events. So really this started,
we can do a better job about that. Like, we just say, hey, we're about to do a podcast and blow that out to the email list and maybe run Facebook ad or something. We need to take that advice. So.
Yes, absolutely. And her point is link building can be really discouraging, right? It's also very important, but if you're going to highlight an event or something that you're going to do, a pop-up you're putting on, then there's plenty of places to post. Make a page. So here's the short list of how to take advantage of this. Create a new page on your site about the campaign or event. Set up different CTAs on your website. funnel people to that, invite influential local bloggers, get a little bit of social media, find journalists who are already kind of in the industry who might be interested in that event, create retargeting ads, increase your visibility in local listings like TripAdvisor, if that's right for your industry, by offering some deals. So I think I really felt like the last two, that last one, promote your upcoming customer event from an SEO perspective. I'm not sure. I like the fact that it's building links. It is building them to an internal page, not necessarily going to promote the page that you want because it's not those events. Unless your whole business model is get people to this webinar or get people to this event and then actually, you know, kind of convert them from there.
Well, I would say from what I've seen, okay, like selling a product or service, promoting an event gets you most engagement. People will share, people will like, people will support events. So I've seen that. I think from a link building standpoint, it's phenomenal. As you were talking and kind of reading through that, I was thinking about some different kind of strategies to roll out an event that you do over and over again quickly by setting up some different kind of campaigns where you can turn them on and, you know, for an hour or two or whatever, if you're doing some kind of pop-up event or the day before, if you're doing stuff, you can build just like seasonal campaigns, something that you could roll out. And then if you had a targeted page to drive that traffic to, it could be fairly effective of, you know, acquiring email lists or, finding attendance or finding people to engage with. I think that there really is some value and wisdom in that. I hadn't thought through that because I know we need to do a better job of that personally. And so I kind of came up with some ideas, but I actually love events better than any other thing like online as far as promoting, because you get the most engagement, people willing to share, people, well, I guess right now, right, it's all webinars. So I guess like the value proposition might not be the same, because people are reporting like recorded stuff and all this. But in general, I think events are a great way to go. And I think it's a great way to generate links. And I think it's a great way of people that are searching for your product or service that are engaged enough to actually go to something are the kind of people that you're looking for. So,
excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, Petif to Arena, that's 6 SEO tactics for maximum customer acquisition. Really good article. Glad that we got to cover it today. At the end of the day, customer acquisition is all that matters. If you like this podcast, we're going to ask you to do just a couple of things. In fact, if you did 3 things, if you went out and shikode,
share, like, follow,
and shikode our podcast. And when you share it, hopefully you'll share it with 3 people who would be interested in, you know, maybe it's CMO.
Or share it on your page. Share it on your Facebook page or share it on like whatever on your YouTube, like share the link. But share it on social media, because it does get out to people. People do watch it. The view time right now is so high right now on YouTube and Facebook. It's through the roof right now. So a lot of people are spending time on it. So we ask you to share it. Yeah.
Absolutely. If you're looking to grow your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet,
call EWR Digital for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. If you've got a referral, just call us. We'll help you out. We'll figure something out. It'll work out good. We were filmed live in Houston at 2 different locations. You can get a transcript, video, and audio of the podcast at bestseopodcast.com. Unless you've got anything else, Matt, you ready to sign out?
Well, like the logo behind me, I know we didn't talk about this.
Talked
about this at the top of the next podcast, but this is American Marketing Association logo. And we are Crystal Award winners in a number of different categories. So I'm waiting for my trophies. I need to follow up with those, but we're award-winning agency. As you all know, we're staying relevant, winning awards for this year. Right. So we've won Better Business Bureau Awards. We've won American Marketing Association Awards. And we got a couple other that I think are going to be ticked off as well. Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. But we're still delivering award-winning work for our clients through COVID. We're working all remotely right now, continuing to deliver great results. So we are open for business. I would say sending us an email through our new website, ewrdigital.com, ewebresults.com, will take you there as well. But fill out a form or set up a call. We are doing some really great audits and marketing plans for people that are getting their business off the ground. We are working with a lot of publicly traded companies now and larger companies that are looking to grow. But you know, whatever your need is, give us a call. I'm sure we can help you out. So,
absolutely. EWRdigital.com. Well, until the next podcast, you guys have actually made us the most popular SEO podcast, one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. Thank you for your reviews, your comments, connecting with us, all those good things, sharing it, liking it, and following it.
Yes.
Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.